بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى والصلح خير وقال الله تبارك وتعالى وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما وقال الله تبارك وتعالى فابعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا زامن ببيت في ربض الجنة لمن ترك المراء وهو مبطل وأنا زامن ببيت في وسط الجنة لمن ترك المراء وهو محق وأنا زامن ببيت في أعلى الجنة لمن حسن خلقه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Our most honorable and respected ulama, respected elders and dear brothers. Any normal human being in this world loves to live a peaceful existence. There is no human being in this world that wants to live a life that is full of conflict and dispute and problems. It is in the nature of a sane, normal human being that he will want a life that is free of any type of conflict and problems. But just as much as every person would desire that his life must be free of conflict and problems, we know as a fact that in the course of the life of a human being, invariably situations of conflict are going to arise. And there is no running away from it, there is no escaping from it. In the instances of some people it is more, in the instances of some people it is less. There are some people that every day of their life they are involved in some type of conflict or a situation of dispute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us in the Quran Sharif that when Allah sent down Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam from Jannah, that part and parcel of human life on earth was going to be the existence of conflict and disputes. So it is something we can never escape and we cannot run away. قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ Allah says in the Quran that we said, come down onto the earth, بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ There will exist between some of you enmity and rancor and malice and hatred and there will be some degree of people being enemies to one another in the life of this world. The only time this enmity, this rancor will disappear is when a person will enter into Jannah. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will once more remove whatever enmity or rancor that existed between people, like how we were in our original state when we came down from Jannah. That time there was no enmity. When we complete the whole cycle and we go back to Jannah, at that time that enmity and rancor will be removed from the hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the Quran, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُورٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ That when the people of Jannah will enter into Jannah, then Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا We will extract and we will remove مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ Whatever rancor that may exist in their hearts of any extent, ma fi sudurihim min ghil, to any extent, whatever rancor may exist in their hearts, we will extract that, and then there will be ikhwanan, like one brotherhood, and then that will be a very happy existence thereafter, enjoying the bounties and the pleasures of Jannah. In fact, the Mufassireen have written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause two streams to flow in Jannah, And every person that enters into Jannah will drink from those two streams. When the first stream the people will drink from, that will cause all the rancor to be removed from their hearts. And the second stream they will drink from will fill their hearts with absolute love and mutual feeling for one another. So nevertheless, that is inshallah when we will reach Jannah. But in the meantime, in our existence, in the life of this world, we find conflict situations existing all the time. And what we need to do is to understand the nature of this conflict. And furthermore, not just to understand the nature of conflict and disputes, but then to know the ways to overcome these conflicts and disputes. If we look around us in the world today, we find conflicting situations on every level. On the international level, we know the conflict that exists between the forces of Shaitan, the forces of Batil, and the forces of Islam and the forces of Haqq. We know that conflict manifested itself in the form of the September the 11th attack on the World Trade Center. That was a manifestation of that conflict that exists between Haqq and Batil. But at the same time, respected elders and brothers, we must understand and appreciate one thing, that a conflict does not necessarily have to be a negative thing. There can always be a very positive side to a conflict. It depends on how we look at it and what we make out of the situation. If we look at it in a positive light, we can get positive outcomes from what appears to be a negative situation. For example, everyone looked at September the 11th as a very detrimental thing to the cause of Islam and Muslims. That was a conflict situation. But if one looks at it in another light, September the 11th created so much of awareness and so much of interest it generated in Islam that perhaps no singular event in the recent history of humanity or mankind has generated that degree of interest in Islam and Muslims as September the 11th has done. And as a result, we find that the copies of the Holy Quran in the English language were sold out in every bookshop across the length and breadth of the United States of America. There were shortages of the Quran Sharif in the English language. So here we see a conflict, but because there's a positive dimension to it, it can become an opportunity to spread the message of Islam and to spread the message of Deen. That we spoke about on an international level. We can look at another conflict, potential conflict that exists on our provincial level, KwaZulu-Natal. As we all probably are aware of the fact that right now, perhaps at this moment, a case is carrying on in one of the courts in Durban on the issue of the Ngema song. Now that is a conflict situation. And it has a potential for a lot of harm and damage coming out of it. But we look at it from a positive aspect. And we look at it as an opportunity. And the way we handle it and we seize upon this opportunity, that is the way it will turn out for us. If we as Muslims, for example, look at it as an opportunity to say that let us do some introspection. Let us do some self-examination. Let us do a reassessment of our situation in terms of race relations. And let's take the positive thing out of it. And let us work towards reformation and betterment of race relationship. Then what is looked upon as a very conflicting and a negative thing, a lot of good and benefit will derive and accrue from it. And therefore, respected elders and brothers, I would like to take this opportunity to invite each and every one of us that let us assess our own attitudes and outlooks in terms of the racial makeup that we have in our province and in our country for that matter. What is our attitude towards people of a different race? particularly people who come from the indigenous community. Is there some racism or racist elements that lurk in our hearts? Do we consider people from a different race group to be inferior just by virtue of being from a different race group? Do we have the habit of allowing certain, you know, words or labels or descriptors with regard to those people to come onto our tongues regularly, which influences then again our hearts and our attitudes? Because the heart is affected by the tongue just as much as the tongue is affected by the heart. It's a two-way relationship. So when we keep speaking racist language, then our attitudes are definitely going to be affected by the language that we use, the racist language that we use. And for that matter, what we hear, there's a two-way traffic between the ear and the heart as well. So if we're going to be accustomed to listening to a lot of racist language, then definitely it is going to have an impact, invariably it's going to have an impact on our hearts. So in this conflicting situation, we can take a very positive side out of it, and we all need to do a very, very honest amount of soul searching and introspection and look into our hearts and see that is this the situation that prevails in my heart, and if so, then we need to repent and we need to reform and we need to change our attitudes altogether. And inshallah, just on the changing of attitudes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause a lot of good to come into existence. The changing of a niyat of a person, the changing of an outlook of a person, the changing of an attitude of a person, it can have a very, very great effect on the outside world around him. We may not perceive this, and I don't have time to go into examples of how a person had an intention in his heart. The intention was good, and it impacted on the entire surroundings around him. And a person, on the other hand, had a bad intention in his heart, and it had an impact on the surroundings around him. Nevertheless, this conflict situation we find ongoing. We find it on a domestic front, and the proverbial conflict between husband and wife, there is hardly perhaps any marriage that didn't experience some degree of conflict at some time or the other. The arguments that happened between couples, like one person said, you know, a man can never have the last word in any argument. Why? Because whatever he said, that's actually the beginning of the next argument. So it's a never-ending story. You can't win an argument. So, this conflict on the domestic front, then if a person has got just one wife, then it's, you know, one issue. On the other hand, if somebody has got two wives, then that is what some people call double trouble. Now, to handle the situation, to do justice, to contain and maintain and contain that conflict, to manage it, to handle it. Relationship between parent and children, there also we find a lot of conflict arising. And especially as the children grow older and they become more independent in their minds and thinking, then the instances of conflict increase more and more. And then when it comes to, for example, the choice of a partner for marriage, then it can really become a very, very complex situation. It can become a complicated situation. The conflict can blow up into full-blown, what we would say, problem. And, for example, if the parents want the daughter to marry in a certain home or a certain family or a certain boy, she refuses, etc., tremendous conflicts arise in such situations. Then conflicts we find in the workplace, especially when it comes to employer-employee relationships. We find, unfortunately, there's a lot of conflict in that situation. And always the employers have complaints about their workers are lazy, incompetent, non-committant, and basically unproductive. And on the part of the workers, the complaint is, we're exploited, and we're being treated unjustly, etc., etc. So there's always conflict. We find this conflict always existing in workplaces. Business partnerships is another area of conflict. A lot of conflicts in business partnerships. Conflicts when it comes to issues of inheritance. Each person wanting to claim a greater share than the next person. Conflicts between landlord and tenant. That's an ongoing thing. Then we find conflict in another area altogether. For example, the public domain. The public area. At a parking lot, we find conflict taking place on that level. Or we find in public places. Like recently I heard something which was very, very disheartening, very disturbing. And it calls for a very, very serious reflection of us as a Muslim community into our own affairs, and especially in terms of the affairs of the youth of our community. In a public park, a family, a Muslim family went for a little picnic. There was the young couple with a little baby, and the father and the mother of the boy, and maybe his brother. They were having a little peaceful picnic in one corner of the park. Close by, there was some Muslim youth playing football. And they were so engrossed in, maybe some of them thought they were going to take part in the World Cup. They were so engrossed in that football game of theirs that they were totally inconsiderate to that family that was sitting there and having the picnic, to the extent that they kept kicking the ball in the direction of the family, until once or twice the ball struck the elderly gentleman, it struck the young wife of this person. And when he couldn't take it anymore, he stood up and he said, "Please show some respect for my family. Just now my little baby is here, you could have injured my child." And he tried to reason with these young Muslim boys. And instead of admitting and acknowledging that they were wrong, instead of apologizing, we find that these Muslim youth turned on this family. And they, without speaking a word, they began to savagely beat this young Muslim boy up, using all kind of vulgarities, to the extent that the old man, the father of the boy, stood up and he said, "Don't you people have respect for my age?" And they in turn wanted to assault the father until some other people came and intervened. In fact, to the extent that they stabbed this youngster in his head, and he had to go to hospital and he had to be stitched, etc. This is a very, very sad reflection on the degree of morality that we find in our youth and the degree of indiscipline that we find. And we as a community have to work very, very hard to make an effort on our youth that these tendencies disappear and their conduct begins to conform with the dictates and teachings of our deen. So nevertheless, we find a conflict situation even in public places. And what leads to this conflict? What are the actual causes or the factors that lead to conflict? If one has to really analyze it deeply, there may be many causes, but one or two causes that one finds very, very salient when it comes to issues of conflict. One is ignorance. When people are ignorant about the situation, then we find a lot of unnecessary suspicions, we find a lot of assumptions, and we find people making demands of things that they're not supposed to demand or ask for. That's one factor. The other factor that we find when it comes to conflict situations that motivates conflicts is this injustice, zulm. A person knows he's wrong, but by virtue of his strength and power, he wants to force a situation, and he wants everything his way, and he insists and demands that he wants it his way. This zulm, this oppression, this tyranny, this is the thing that leads to a lot of conflict in the world. Like they say, you know, some people say, what is mine is mine, and what is yours is not yours. What is yours is negotiable. So this is the outlook even when we find international conflicts. The issue of Palestine and is the same conflict, that the Jews claim what is ours, but then we want what is the Palestinians is not theirs. That's what we want to negotiate and take away from them more and more until they leave them with nothing at all. So my respected elders and brothers, conflict is there, it will exist, it will remain. And we know the factors that lead to it as well. But now what is the way forward? How do we resolve a conflict? If we find a conflicting situation or we find ourselves in a conflicting situation, how do we resolve it? The most simple and easiest way to resolve a conflict situation is when the parties that are involved in the conflict sit down with a degree of responsibility and commitment and an attitude of justice and fair play, and in good faith, not in bad faith, in good faith, they sit down and they try to resolve the problem amongst themselves. They negotiate the problem. By a process of negotiation, they try and reach an amicable settlement. Negotiation will entail some amount of give and take. And this is why I recited in the beginning, the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which he gave the great virtue of those people who are prepared to give and take, those people who are prepared to settle, those people who are not dogmatic and rigid in their positions, but they are ready to give a bit and take a bit, and they are ready for negotiations. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in the hadith that I, Allah's Rasul, I give guarantee of a house on the outskirts of Jannah for that person who is involved in a conflict, in an argument situation. He knows he's wrong, and then he accedes that, no, okay, it's my fault, I'm wrong. He accedes and he gives up the argument, he gives up the conflict, and he's prepared to negotiate. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I guarantee that person a house on the outskirts of Jannah. What a great virtue for those people who are prepared to accede and acknowledge the mistake they made. Then he goes on further to say that I guarantee a home in the middle of Jannah for that person who's in a conflict situation. He knows he's right, but he's still prepared to accommodate and he's still prepared to capitulate and give in and negotiate. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, for that person I guarantee a home in the center of Jannah. So there's so much of good and virtue in negotiating our problems. To sit down as responsible people, and especially as Muslims, one brotherhood, one ukhuwa, one ummah, and to sit and sort our problems out between ourselves. It is so, so easy, my respected elders and brothers. And so much of virtue there is. If for whatever reason we find that after sitting down together and trying to negotiate the problem, we are unable to come to a settlement, then we have another option that is open to us, and that is mediation or arbitration. We call an outsider, a third party, a neutral third party, to come in and assess our situation and to give an independent and just resolution or a judgment that is based on justice and fairness, and to give us a solution to our problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has alluded to this in the Holy Quran. فَبْأَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. That if you find a situation where there's conflict between husband and wife, and they are unable to resolve that conflict in-house, within the confines of their own home, then send a mediator from the side of the wife, and send a mediator from the side of the husband. And if they are clear in their intention, and they are really out to solve the problem, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحَ يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If they're really out to do justice and find the solution, Allah will show them the path to that solution. All of this indicates, respected elders and dear brothers, that alhamdulillah we have enough mechanisms within our own Muslim ummah and community to solve our problems, to the extent that we as a Muslim ummah do not have to go outside to look for solutions. We don't have to go and look to the disbelievers and the kuffar for justice, to go to their mechanisms and to go to their courts and systems to find justice. That is not appropriate for a Muslim. When Allah has given us all the mechanisms within ourselves, then we should exploit and explore those mechanisms to the full. And we shouldn't go and look for justice outside what we have within our own systems. Therefore, my respected elders and brothers, I would like to point out to you, inshallah, in the near future, with Allah's help and your du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible that a mediation and arbitration council be formed for the needs of the Muslims of our province of KwaZulu-Natal, that inshallah that council will be able to resolve our problems in such a way that inshallah a day must come when a Muslim must never ever see the door of a court after that, inshallah. Already in Transvaal, such an organization and council has been formed, and it is doing its work, and alhamdulillah, to a great extent, there are hopes of success and there are signs of success. So make dua, Allah Ta'ala, make this possible. But in the absence of this, even right now, the formal structures may not be there in place, but we have enough expertise in our own community that even without the formalization of the structure, it is possible to resolve 99% of our problems in-house, then we shouldn't look outside. And Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we try to resolve our problems in the way shown to us in the Quran and the Sunnah. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah.